Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. When we turn on the faucets in our homes and businesses, we expect clean water to come out. And for most people in Wisconsin, that is the case. But 1 in 10 rural wells in the state still have nitrate levels that are dangerously high. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seawert. Joining me today is State Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point and State Representative Scott Krug of NACUSA. Both lawmakers are sponsors of the Clean Water Health and Wellness Act. The bill would establish a pilot program to help rural well owners test their water, then work with state officials on remediation efforts. Pat and Scott, welcome to Route 51.
Thank you.
Great to be back.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what are nitrates exactly?
Okay. Yeah, good. I like to do that little tutorial. That's a good idea. So yeah. Nitrates are basically part of the agricultural process, part of the natural process of breaking down feces and things like that in septic tanks. So nitrates are basically excess nitrogen that gets turned into a nutrient that ends up in water or ends up on the soil. If it ends up on the soil and it gets washed into the recharge, it becomes a groundwater issue. So nitrates are actually a naturally occurring element in our environment.
Okay, so why are they so dangerous then?
Sure. So nitrates, the federal government has set a standard for nitrates in drinking water, saying that 10 parts per million is a safe consumption level, because above that you start seeing some health issues related to excess nitrates in your system. So for example, women who are pregnant, the elderly, people who are more susceptible start developing various health conditions because of excess nitrates in their bodies. Something that we can't decompose or process as quick as we should be able to with other nutrients in our systems. So that buildup causes long-term health problems. And that's what we're trying to address, is A, stopping nitrates from getting into groundwater excessively, and B, stopping those individuals who have those problems from having to consume nitrates.
Okay. So the elderly, infants, pregnant women, probably people with immune disorders, those kinds of?
Yeah, to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. It gets to the point where it's not only just a drinking water problem, but it's also a problem if nitrates are too much, that it's hard, that you shouldn't even be showering with excess nitrates above 30 to 40 parts when you get a little bit higher. So even that contact and absorption with skin at a certain level becomes problematic.
Okay. So give us an overview of what this bill is proposing.
So this is a new concept. So as you mentioned, this would be a new pilot program that would be housed within DHS. Now, currently, we have a well compensation program that is housed within the Department of Natural Resources. And as it relates to nitrate contamination, homeowners only qualify if they're over 40 parts per million nitrate contamination, which is 4 times above the EPA safe standards. And the caveat to that is you also have to have livestock on your land. So for tens of thousands of Wisconsinites who are above that safe standard, they would not qualify for the well compensation program for nitrate contamination. So I believe, Republican, Democrat alike, whatever your political stripes may be, I think we can all agree on the fact that access to clean water is not necessarily just an environmental issue, but it is a public health issue. And as Representative Krug had just mentioned, all the different potential health impacts that nitrate exposure and contamination can cause, it's a huge health risk. And so we devised this program, this legislation, to create a new pilot program within DHS. And what it would do, if fully funded, it would create a $10 million program over the course of the next 2 years to provide homeowners up to $2,500 to receive grants to ensure that their well can be remediated or go towards a new well to ensure that when they go to the tap, they have safe, clean water to drink. So this is an entirely new program. We believe this is a big, bold approach to address this issue. So to put this in perspective, if we were to fully fund this program and if every homeowner that qualified received up to the max allocation of $2,500, we could take out a quarter of the contaminated wells in 2 years. I firmly believe that number is actually going to be far higher, simply because we know there are going to be instances where it may only cost a couple hundred dollars or far less than $2,500 to get that homeowner within the EPA safe standards. So I'm really excited about this legislation because we have not seen an approach taken like this in the past. And given the fact that I think both sides of the aisle down in Madison have really emphasized that clean water is a top priority this session, The fact that Governor Evers announced in his State of the State earlier this year that 2019 is the year of clean water, I think this is going to be one of those issues that we can find that common ground, provide short-term relief for homeowners right now, and then use the Speaker's Task Force on Groundwater Quality and Water Quality as the vehicle to find long-term solutions to ensure we balance the needs of our natural resources here in the state of Wisconsin.
Why do you think that the level is so high now? I mean, you're saying that the kind of the safe level is 10,000, but right now people have to be at 40,000?
So here's what it is. So if you have 10 parts per million of nitrates in your well, you're considered to have an unsafe drinking well. So that's what we're trying to make sure is that anybody above 10 parts per million, we have something in place that'll help them immediately address that issue. So when you're talking 10 parts per million up to 20-some parts per million, you can treat that with point-of-service systems, you know, reverse osmosis or things like that. That'll bring the nitrates way down. I work in real estate, too, and I sell a lot of houses. When we do water testing, we see those water tests that come back at 16, 17, 18. If we put a reverse osmosis system in there, from the tap, it becomes 6 or 7 parts per million.
Okay.
So that's what we're trying to address is somebody who's in those ranges from 10 parts per million to 25 parts per million.
Okay. All right. But, I mean, obviously, some of these private wells are well beyond the threshold. Mm-hmm. Is that part of the reason that you're bringing DHS into this? I mean, so elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we thought it was important to incorporate DHS as opposed to the DNR is just because of the health implications of nitrate contamination. More importantly, as I said earlier, I think you can get more buy-in from a broad range of stakeholders when you build this as a public health issue and not necessarily an environmental issue. And so when we started to craft this legislation, we reached out to a number of different folks. And as Representative Krug mentioned, I mean, realtors are very interested in this topic because the likelihood of closing on a sale if a water test comes back and that well far exceeds the safe standard.
They're zero, yeah.
Yeah, it goes right
through
the floor.
I suppose, yeah.
And so, I mean, it's really, really an issue. More importantly, I've really been encouraged because we've been approached by a number of agricultural groups who have expressed interest in this. We've had great conversations with conservation groups and even conversations that we've had with folks at the DNR. They really are encouraged by this legislation. And we continue to work with DHS. They've had some questions as to, well, why are we going to put this within this department? And I've told them, like, you guys are the health experts. Mm-hmm. So you are the ones people go to when there are health issues that pop up. So I think this is entirely appropriate for them. The other component of this legislation as well is that there is buy-in from local governments. So in certain areas of the state, nitrate contamination is more of a problem than other parts of the state. So, for instance, in the Central Sands, places like Portage County, Wood County, Juneau, Adams, Washera, and others are more susceptible to nitrate contamination due to the heavy ag presence and as well as the sandy soil. So within the legislation, we want counties to buy into the program or enroll in the program, and that will ensure that the counties where this is more of a problem will have first crack at it to ensure that their citizens and their residents can take advantage of this program. The other component of this as well is that we give preference to those who are more susceptible to nitrate contamination. So women who are pregnant, who have small children under the age of 3, who are breastfeeding, and then those who are 65 or older. Because, again, DHS and health experts have shown us those who are most at risk when it comes to nitrate contamination.
Okay. I think you brought up a good point earlier that this isn't a new problem, you know, something we've dealt with in the Central Sands forever. But as it's becoming more apparent to people that there could be an issue, more and more counties are doing testing, more and more individuals are testing their water. So we're seeing that these nitrates that have always been here and have always been in people's wells, people are finally realizing that they should have their well tested. And that's where we're starting to see the problem pop up in southwest Wisconsin and other parts of the state where we hadn't had concerns before. Now the testing is apparent to everybody. We're trying to make sure we're staying ahead of the game. So, you know, nitrates are nothing new. They've been there forever, and a lot of it is legacy nitrates that have been in the ground for decades that people are just finally realizing they've got to deal with. So that's a part of what we're trying to do, too, is raise awareness that everybody needs to have their well tested, hopefully at least once a year. It's not super expensive, and as a homeowner and a realtor, that's something that people should know is a serious deal, that you've got to be part of the solution and have your well tested so we know where the problems are.
And it sounds like this is not a problem that is – unique to central Wisconsin then. I mean, it's...
Right. No, I mean, that's kind of the hot spot. I mean, Portage County is one of the biggest hot spots in the state, but obviously, like Senator Tested mentioned, the surrounding counties. But you'll see it more in, Kewaunee County area. You'll see it more in the southwest part of the state and towards the Iowa border, where you see a lot of heavier presence of agriculture with a karst-type typology for bedrock that's cracked. Anywhere that groundwater can get into the system a lot quicker, sandy soils or karst bedrock, those are the areas that are more susceptible.
And I think Representative Krug mentioned a great point. So oftentimes when constituents call into us about water quality issues, oftentimes they're upset, they're frustrated, and believe me, I share the frustration. But as Representative Krug mentioned, we didn't get here overnight. It has taken decades to get to where we are today, and it's going to take some time to get us to where we need to be. That's why I think it's important that legislation such as this provides that short-term relief as we continue to try and tackle the long-term solutions that are going to ensure that we are good stewards of our natural resources and that we try and find that balance to ensure that our ag economy, which is so important for the state of Wisconsin, is able to thrive and grow, but also to ensure that homeowners can go to their tap and know that that water is safe to drink.
How is this effort different than what the DNR is doing, for example? I mean, what makes it unique?
Well, I think the more unique part of this is that DNR doesn't actually have a program to address this. I mean, that's the thing we're trying to solve right now is that, yes, there is the well compensation program, but that's only for people who are above 40 and have livestock. So right now, the well compensation program is literally just an agricultural program. And that's what we're trying to address right now is that there really isn't a statewide focus or program that deals with this to help people with contaminated wells. We've always tried to make sure that it's something that we're cognizant of and know what's going on, but now it's time for us to pony up and say, hey, we've got money in our state budget because we've done some good budgeting in the last 8 years. We know a policy problem exists, and now we've got money to fund it. Let's create something new. And that's why I think, you know, Senator Testa mentioned earlier, this is big and bold. This is something that hasn't been done before, and we're really trying to create the wheel here instead of recreate the wheel because it just doesn't exist right now.
I did read 1 in 5 private wells in Wisconsin agricultural areas is considered unsafe to drink. I thought that was a really high number, and that's due to nitrate levels, the 1 in 5. And that means more than 90,000 Wisconsin households impacted. How many homes in your constituency area do you know? I mean, how many?
You know, that's one of the challenges we have. I know in certain pockets of Wood County and certain parts of Adams County, there's some individual groups that are doing some testing. But until we get the bill like this passed where the counties can buy in and do some widespread testing, we don't actually know what those numbers are. Those are estimates by DNR. Mm-hmm. It could be bigger. It could be less, but we don't know until we do the science and have people test their wells on a yearly basis and track what the results look like. And so we can see, here's how it works. If we find those hot spots, we can follow the watershed back to where the introduction of nitrate comes from. We can start setting policy for that individual area, and we can stop the problem from having to be treated in the first place. But we just don't have that right now, which is just – it's alarming to me that we haven't had a process like this set up before that we could actually put some money into. So I think now is the right time to strike on this and get something going.
All right. We have to take a break. Representative Scott Krug and Senator Patrick Teston are our guests today, talking about the Clean Water Health and Wellness Act. When we return, we'll talk more about the specifics of the bill they're proposing and the potential impact the legislation would have for residents and businesses in the state. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Two state legislators, Representative Scott Krug and Senator Patrick Teston, are our guests today, talking about the Clean Water Health and Wellness Act. Pat, in the past, you've been a guest on Route 51, and you've been talking about CAFOs, the Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations. I know that some regions and townships have put a moratorium on those. What can you tell us about how that opposition has played out in recent months?
Well, when you talk about CAFOs, it elicits a lot of emotion. A lot of people don't want them in their backyard for a number of different reasons. That's why you've seen other legislation that I have co-authored with State Senator Rob Coles to ensure that the CAFO permit fees go towards more staff positions at DNR to help with the application of the permits and ensure that we don't have a backlog and we're putting more staff to take a look at as to whether or not those projects should move forward or not. And so, more importantly, going back to the Health and Wellness Act, because we have seen such a surge in nitrate contamination throughout the state, and it's on everyone's radar now, that's why I think it's important to have a number of different proposals out there to address this issue.
Okay. You know, and I think it's a good point to make, too, is that I think it's a little bit of a misnomer that the biggest nitrate contamination areas are surrounding the CAFOs. Mm-hmm. I think for some of those circumstances, that's true. But I think the bigger question we've got to answer is, how do we help the small to medium farmer to introduce less nitrates into the creeks that run through their farm operations? I know that, you know, people, like Pat said, the emotions are high when it comes to CAFOs and things like that. But when you've got a, you know, concentrated area of animal operations that has a highly regulated system of treating nitrates and phosphorus and other nutrients, I don't think they're so much a problem as the smaller grower may be, or as much as a crop field may be that spreads a lot of fertilizers and things like that. So I've always tried to help people understand that, yes, you know, CAFOs do have concerns, but I don't know that it's necessarily one of the nitrate areas that we have to deal with when it comes to dealing with excess fertilizers in groundwater and septic systems that cause introduction of nitrates to bodies of water. I think I try to keep those two things separated a little bit. But we do need to make sure we're highly regulating CAFOs, that we keep that regulations up. And like Senator Tessin said, make sure that the fees they pay every year go into the program that they're meant to be paid for. And that's one of the struggles we have with government sometimes, is that if a fee pops up, it doesn't always go to what it's intended for. That's what we've got to figure out, is make sure that the permitting operations for that program are well-funded, that decisions can be made either yes or no. Got a CAFO in my district that's proposed to come in into Saratoga, right across from the Central Sands Dairy mm-hmm. in Armenia, for 6 years, 6.5 years, almost 7 years now. In July, it'll be 7 years that there's been no answer, that there's been no regulatory movement. So the people in that area are highly charged on the issue, and over 7 years holding up that anger and dishonesty about the process, I think, has caused so much frustration. I think they'd rather just have an answer yes or no, even if it is a yes at this point. That program is broken. We've got to fund it. We've got to make sure the decisions can be made, and that if there is going to be an operation place somewhere, that the DNR can set a perfect standard for the WPDS permit for the discharge, so we know what's coming out of that operation. And on top of all that, we need to make sure that we have the staff people at DNR to do inspections of those individual areas. Every time that a permit is in place, DNR's got to be there to inspect it every year or so to make sure it's being met. So there's things we can do, but I think CAFOs are almost a secondary issue at this point, seeing how big nitrates are coming up in other areas of the state.
Does the DNR have enough staff to take care of all of those
Personally,
things?
I think they do. I'd have some constituents who would argue with me, but I think DNR's got plenty of staff to be able to do these jobs. We've got to figure out a way to focus DNR's work into areas that are highly susceptible to contamination and environmental problems. Right now, with DNR spread everywhere, even if there's areas that aren't so problematic, we need to bring those staff people back into areas that are more problematic and get more boots on the ground there. But I think overall, staffing levels are good there.
Are you getting any pushback from the agricultural community at all on this issue, or
on this particular bill? No. In fact, they've been at the table with us when we first started to talk about this and start to create the framework for this legislation. We reached out to some of the agricultural groups here in the state, and they're absolutely thrilled about the prospects of this new legislation. So they've had a seat at the table. They are interested in addressing this issue. And I think that's what's so important. When you take a look at the issue of groundwater quality throughout the state of Wisconsin, in years past, it's been a very contentious issue. You've had the ag community and then conservation groups that have been kind of at odds. I often refer to that they've been in their ideological trenches and then lobbing grenades back and forth to one another, creating a no man's land where it's been very hard to have any progress or any compromise on the issue.
But that's where I live, in that no man's land. There you go. Okay.
And we are finally at a point where I think everyone's kind of realized it doesn't do any good to continue to fight with one another when it doesn't matter if you live in the city of Stevens Point, if you live in the town of Rome, town of Saratoga, what have you. In central Wisconsin specifically, we all rely on groundwater. So we all have a part to play. And the fact that you're seeing some of those tensions die down, you're seeing more collaborative efforts through the producer-led watershed grants, where you've got farmers and conservation groups working hand in hand to reduce the runoff of phosphorus and nitrates into our watersheds, that's a huge step in the right direction. That even in my short time in office, going back to 2017, we didn't have that. And I know for Representative Krug, he has been in this kind of the tip of the spear on this issue since he first got into the legislature.
See the gray hair?
So I'm encouraged. And that's why I think even with the Speaker's Task Force on Groundwater Quality that both Representative Krug and I both sit on, I've been really encouraged by the discussions that we've had, because I think the light bulb has gone off that, yes, we have a problem and we have to address it.
You know, and it's a great point to make, is that agriculture and every producer and grower that I've ever talked to have always told me, Scott, we don't care what the rules are, as long as you set the rules and we can just live by those rules. I mean, that's the one thing that they're afraid of, and that's the one thing that creates lawsuits, is when you have regulatory agencies deciding on a case-by-case individual basis on nothing that's based on law, what's going to happen, what's not. So if you've got a producer in Washera County who wants to expand to Adams County, and there's different rules and different regulations, it makes it impossible for them to make business decisions. As long as they know what the rules are, they're perfectly fine operating underneath whatever rules we set for them. And I think this idea where we're using some GPR money and taxpayer resources to solve a problem that the taxpayers as a whole think is a problem does take some of the burden off the agricultural community for them feeling like they're being blamed for it. They do contribute. They do understand they contribute to it. But they don't think they contribute 100% to it, so they don't feel they should have to pay 100% for it. So these things all have to come together to say, taxpayer as a whole, do you think this has something of importance to you as a constituency together to pay for and to solve the problem? And I think everybody is at that point right now where they wouldn't mind if we take some of the $600 million that we had in surplus from last budget or the new revenues that we anticipated this budget and putting them into a big, bold program to help solve a quarter of the problem within 2 years, knowing that every other 2 years, the next three or four state budgets, this could be a non-issue 10 years from now. I mean, I think people are excited about it, as far as, you know, the capability of having money, creating policy, having constituents involved, and having agriculture community at the table. It's kind of the perfect storm right now. So I think you'll see more bills like this one actually popping up that are just as big and bold for other parts of the state, whether it's nitrates or PFAS or, you know, phosphorus or whatever other contaminants may exist in other parts of the state. You'll start seeing a lot more of these things pop up because of the work of the task force and the willingness for people to cooperate at this point.
So I think a lot of people don't understand how nitrates even end up in drinking water. Can you just elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think a real easy precursor on that is say a farm operation has to spread 5 pounds of nitrogen on a crop of corn per acre. Say sometimes there's an overapplication of it and it's a little more dense than the plant can absorb. That excess nutrient sits on the ground until something washes it into the groundwater or below the root absorption level. If a plant isn't taking up all of the nutrient, it doesn't go away. It just goes somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So the excess nutrient, when it's not absorbed by the plant, seeps down into the groundwater. Groundwater flows like rivers underneath our areas of, especially in rural Wisconsin. So it flows into all of our private wells. And as that groundwater moves, according to the water table, that's where the excess nutrient ends up. So we're really trying to tackle issues surrounding fertilizer applications and types of fertilizer and when to apply and when not to apply. We don't allow manure to be spread on fields when they're frozen. We have to make sure that the plants can absorb nutrients. So there's a lot of agricultural and soil science that goes into preventing nitrate contamination that doesn't get talked about a lot because people only care about what's in that cup of water as opposed to the general area and how to cause it and what the solution is. So that's why we're working on, especially in the task force, and we've got a nitrate work group also secondary to the task force. We're working with soil scientists to try to figure out if there's better ways to apply nutrients to plants. Are there different seed germinations that can be used that need less nitrogen? Are there different things that geneticists at UW-Madison can help us figure out for those plants to have so much fertilizer applied to them? And Senator Teston himself had one heck of an idea last session where he reintroduced hemp as a growing product for all of our producers, which takes a heck of a lot of fertilizer, takes a heck of a lot less water, but is still a very productive cash crop for producers in our area of the Central Sands who need to have money to, you know, keep those jobs of Washera County in place. So it's new crops. It's using new technologies. It's all of these things that come into creating a program around water instead of just saying we're going to throw some money at it. There's plenty of other things we're doing besides that.
And it's not just agricultural use that puts nitrates into our groundwater tables. I mean, septic systems have a huge part to play as well in certain townships. So I live in the town of Hall. It's a township with a population between 6,000 and 7,000. And densely, when you have densely confined areas where you have septic systems, you're more susceptible to nitrate blooms within the groundwater. And then also, I mean, when you drive around town, whether it's here in Wausau or out in Marathon City or what have you, when people have really nice green lawns that they're constantly applying fertilizer to, that also plays a role into it as well. So going back to what I said earlier, we all have a part to play when it comes to groundwater quality. And so it's not necessarily just the farmers who introduce nitrates into the groundwater table. It's all of us. We all have a part to play. And so that's why I think it's important that we recognize that. And then from there, stop pointing fingers at individuals and realize this is a collective effort. We're all in this together. And so it's incumbent upon us to find policies and solutions that are going to address the problem and actually get tangible results for people who are impacted by nitrate contamination.
So are there specific things that people can do to mitigate the damage, specific things that we can do even in the cities or the farmers can do to mitigate this?
You know, I think we've done a really good job over the last decade or so making sure that all of our municipal water treatment systems have done a heck of a job upgrading to the technology that's absolutely available to them at the cost that's available. So the municipalities aren't an issue. I think this is, you know, 100% a rural issue at this point, and the only thing that somebody can do to help get us ahead of this game is to make sure they're testing their water every year, making sure their well is fully operational and having it inspected every few years. Because when a well is cracked and you allow contamination in, or a well casing under the ground is cracked and contamination can seep in, it exacerbates your problem for nitrates being in your drinking water. So there's buy-in from individuals in each and every home in a rural area that has a septic system, that has a well for their groundwater. There has to be some yearly maintenance and yearly effort by a homeowner to make sure they know what's going into the ground that they're putting into their septic and what's coming out of their tap. They have to know that and let us know if there's problems coming up. We don't know if the individual homeowners don't help us understand where their problems are at.
And of course, as you mentioned, you know, utilities have to remove or reduce, you know, the nitrate from water, like municipal water systems, like, you know, Wausau and mm-hmm. Stevens Point, but private well owners don't have that. So do you have a sense as to how many well owners actually test their wells each year? Is it pretty low?
That's one of the struggles right now. We don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the problems. I mean, we have homeowners out there who have probably never tested their well whatsoever. So we don't really have a baseline to operate off of. And that's why we're trying to encourage people, test your well so you know. Because if you don't test, you don't know. And so you don't know if you're at risk or not. And that's why this program is billed as a pilot program. So then after 2 years, DHS will come back to the legislature and give us recommendations as to how many people took advantage of the program, how many grant dollars were allocated, what was the average of the allocation, do we need to make adjustments to this program? Do we have to up the funding? Do we have to reduce it? Was this program even necessary at all? Now, I don't think the latter is going to happen just based on the number of folks that we know already have contaminated wells, but we're trying to create a baseline so we can build off upon that and really try and tackle the issue.
You know, one of the stories that we tell a lot, or one of the stories I tell a lot, is I live in the town of Rome in Adams County. Part of the town actually has a water utility, which is, you know, we don't have it across the entire town. But on the side of the town that does, the well that services that is closer to some of the farm fields that are on the eastern end of the town. And the well that services those individuals in that part of the town, the actual municipal well, has nitrates above 10 parts per million.
Wow.
That's okay. A huge problem. When we start having municipalities who can only put wells in certain places where runoff is causing high contamination of groundwater, it's really going to discourage a lot of municipalities from going to systems that deliver water and make people rely even more on private wells, which are even, you know, are a little less susceptible than a municipal service pumping it out to you. But we've got to figure out a way long term with the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality to help individuals who have towns that have municipal services be able to provide nitrate-free groundwater to their drinking taps. I mean, that's one of the challenges that we face besides the private well issue we're talking about in this bill. We've got other things to deal with nitrates that we have to expand on going into the task force recommendations, hopefully coming out July or August.
Okay, so testing really is the only way to know.
It is, point blank, and it's simple, and it's economically very cheap to have your well tested every year. I mean, depending on which sources you use, anywhere from $16 to $40. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a huge investment for a homeowner to know exactly where they sit, especially when you start seeing areas of contamination popping up that we didn't expect it to be in before. Nobody can be absolutely certain unless you actually take the time to do the test. Once you do those tests, you can have policymakers making decisions. We can figure out where those hot spots are, like I mentioned. We can follow back up the watershed. We can do individual policy and regulation for certain parts of the state based on where the contamination may be coming from. But, you know, when we're sitting in the blind as legislators because we don't have a good testing program in place, which this bill would create, if we're sitting in the blind, we can't do anything to help. And that's the biggest problem that I face.
Okay, so are you? I'm curious if you're proposing any partnerships. Are you going to be working with any state entities for testing, or the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point Lab, for example, or private companies? Do you have any of those partnerships?
Yeah, and that's the whole point of this legislation, is that with the creation of this and having it housed in DHS, counties will then enroll in the program. And for counties that may not have the resources to go out and test this, we provide some appropriations for them. We really want to make sure, again, as Representative Krug mentioned, that people are in the know and are educated, and they want to know where their water is at and if it's safe or not. Knowledge is power. And so by having these partnerships between the state and the locals, and then also giving the locals the ability to use private sector well testers, certified plumbers, individuals who work with water on a daily basis to perform these tests and get them certified. And then from there, if a homeowner's well is above 10 parts per million, they will work in consultation with the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as that county health department or these licensed private well inspectors, to determine what remediation is going to work best for that particular homeowner. So you are going to see partnerships from state and local units of government, from local units of government and the private sector. And so this is really a collaborative effort that we have not seen before here in the state of Wisconsin. So going back to the DNR's well compensation program, as it relates to nitrates, we don't have a mechanism to provide remediation for homeowners. The program that's housed in DNR currently, their motto is drill, baby, drill. If you're 40 parts per million nitrates or higher and you have livestock on your land. And so that's the problem that we see, is that we don't have a vehicle right now to provide relief for homeowners. And that's why, again, we're so excited about this legislation and why it's a huge step forward and a leap in the right direction, because we don't have anything currently like this on the books.
Yeah, and those partnerships, those are parts of what developed this legislation. As we talk to water quality experts in the industry here in central Wisconsin, you know, whether it's a Maher's or whether it's a Garrison Septic or whether it's some of those other places that do this on a regular basis that know exactly how to treat somebody's water, we know that when DNR says the only thing we have to do is drill a new well, that's just absolutely not true. When you're talking drilling a new deep well, you're talking $8,000 to $12,000. We don't need to do that for everyone who has an issue right now. We can do these points of service systems that'll treat the water coming in and keep it safe for everybody who's drinking it and allow them to have peace of mind at a price that's probably a fraction of what DNR would expect us to do. And even early on in the task force process, we had DNR testify to us saying that out of these 42,000 wells, that we need to do $12,000 per for well drilling. It's going to cost us $160-some million to solve the problem. And I don't think they really understand what DHS and the health side would understand, is that getting to less than 10 parts per million isn't exactly an expensive endeavor.
All right, Representative Scott Krug, Senator Patrick Teston, our guest today, talking about the Clean Water Health and Wellness Act. When we return, we'll talk more about the impacts of nitrates on private wells, the efforts now underway to address them. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Two state legislators, Representative Scott Krug and Senator Patrick Teston, are our guests today, talking about the Clean Water Health and Wellness Act. So, my next question is, what kind of reaction are you getting to this bill from other state lawmakers?
Well, I think, you know, it's fair to say that it had a had a hearing in the Senate, and it looked like the hearing went pretty well over in the Senate, so I'm expecting some movement there pretty soon. And I think over in the Assembly, I've been on the Environment Committee over in the Assembly for forever, and I think this would be pretty well received by both sides on the committee. There's obviously going to be some folks asking for some tweaks or some increases in money for this, and I think, you know, a senator's done a really good job in listening to people's concerns and has actually got an amendment to the bill, actually, that's addressing some of the people's concerns. So,
yeah, and going back to the previous segment, so when we talked about partnerships, when we drafted this bill initially, we didn't even consider the private sector. And so when word got out about the legislation, they actually approached us and said, we love this idea, we want to be a part of it, and we hope we could participate to go out and test wells because we're licensed, we're certified, we do this on a daily basis. So we said absolutely. And so the amendment that has been introduced is going to open that door for them. And so when we had – when this bill was heard in the Senate Committee on Natural Resources chaired by Senator Rob Coles out of Alloway, who has been a champion on water issues in his long tenure in the Senate – we had a very good discussion, a very good back and forth with the committee members. And so I think we're in a spot now where I believe next week they're going to vote on this bill out of committee. And we're going to try and get this scheduled for the floor as early as the first week in June in the state Senate. So I'm really encouraged by the conversation I've had with my colleagues in the state Senate. I know we're still hoping to waiting to hear the bill in the state Assembly, but I'm confident that we'll get the ball rolling there because as more and more people talk about this issue, you're seeing more and more people's interest perk up on this. I know just in the short time that I've been in the legislature, when you talk about nitrate contamination and water quality issues with some of our colleagues from different areas of the state in years past, there really wasn't much interest. But now, I think even Representative Krug has told me he's got some of his colleagues in the Assembly that are just coming out of the woodwork and saying, what's going on? What can we do to address this issue?
Yeah, it's been neat. I mean, it's been a long struggle. And as Senator Tessa mentioned, Senator Coles has been at this for decades longer than I've been even. He's been working on the same concepts, trying to butt your head against the wall and see if he can bust through eventually. But I think the attitude has changed immensely over the last six, seven years on these issues, from not having an active audience to hear what you're saying to everybody talking about it because their constituents are talking about it. And I think that's what really leads into the task force and the speaker picking up on this issue as something as being one of the top issues in the state at this time. So Speaker Vossen, you know, embarks us on this project of ours that we've had three hearings on already, two in Madison with stakeholders and one public hearing down in Lancaster last couple weeks here. Going into Janesville next week for our second public hearing out in the state. Looking to wind that up, you know, August, September with some hearings in Mauston and Stevens Point and just being all around the state hearing all the individual issues. And nitrates, just one of them. And that's one of the things that doesn't often get talked about is nitrates have taken all the oxygen out of the room, so to speak, on the issue. But there's plenty of emerging issues when it comes to water contamination that we're trying to get in front of now for the first time, being proactive instead of reactive like we've had to be on nitrates because we're trying to catch up on this one now. So we're really working hard to build those coalitions with stakeholders, private industry, university system, extension, anybody who's got some say in some of these issues, especially all the way back to local groups who know the issues the best, to come to these task force meetings that we're having, testify in front of the entire committee so everybody of the 16 members knows exactly what's going on in individual parts of the state. That's the biggest impact that a homeowner can have besides having their well tested every year is come to these hearings and tell us exactly what they're dealing with. Tell us the impact that it's had on their lives. Tell us what the cost has been to them financially and not being able to sell a home or not being able to relocate to a different area because they've heard bad news about a different area. So I think this Speaker's Water Quality Task Force, especially now being bicameral with the Senate involved, really helps drive home the message that everybody's out here listening and dying to find out exactly how we can craft public policy to make sense to help everybody with whatever issues it is, nitrates, PFAS, phosphorus, you know, whatever those contaminants might be.
What's your sense on whether the governor is going to support this or not? Do you feel that he's on board for this?
I would certainly hope so.
You got a coin? I mean, yep. Yeah.
When the governor gave his State of the State address earlier this year and declared that 2019 was going to be the year of clean water, I immediately perked up and I said, this is great because, again, this is an issue that is not a partisan issue. It's not a Republican issue, not a Democrat issue. And when Speaker Voss announced his Speaker's Task Force, I actually approached the Speaker and met with him and said, look, I think this is a fantastic idea. I think it would even be better if we could have the State Senate included. So both houses are working on the exact same issue to find common ground and solutions. So I would hope that this is legislation that the governor could get behind because I see this legislation builds upon his call to action in relation to clean water. And it's a real opportunity for us to connect the dots to ensure that we are providing homeowners the avenues that they desperately need to get relief so they can go to their tap and get clean water.
I mean, what better win could you have as governor of the state of Wisconsin as being the guy that signed the bill to help solve the nitrate problem? I mean,
right. That's
kind of the pitch to the governor at this point, is saying, hey, this is legacy building for you. I mean, you know, we all got to get reelected at some point. And if we're being brutally honest here, there's not a whole heck of a lot of legislation getting signed right now because both sides at the top levels are being a little too argumentative. Why not have this thing passed bipartisanly through the legislature and get on the governor's desk and start being one of those things where it starts bringing people together because it's Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives back home who are all having these issues that are the same. To have the governor sign a bill like that would be game-changing for those folks in those areas. I don't see a loss here to be on board with this bill.
Yeah, and it really boils down to I don't care who gets credit for this legislation if it gets signed into law. If it can provide relief for homeowners, that's a win-win in my book. It doesn't need to be a Senator Testen bill or a Representative Krug bill. I wouldn't even care if the governor himself, the day he signed it, went on a statewide tour to champion the fact that he has provided relief for homeowners, so long as we get something done. Oftentimes down in Madison, I think good public policy gets hung up because of the politics of personality. And this is one of those issues where you need to check your ego at the door because this is an issue that transcends political affiliation. And it's really about putting forward good public policy that is in the best interest of those who sent us down to Madison to represent them.
So can you explain then how this would work? If this passes, private well owners, they contact their local health department for a test, and then what happens next?
So once a homeowner contacts their local health department, they will then have someone come out and test their well and get it certified. If it comes back that the well is above 10 parts per million nitrates, they will then work in consultation with the Department of Health Services as well as that local county health department or the private well tester to determine a remediation effort that is going to get them within that safe standards. And then from there, DHS will determine what that grant allocation is going to be. So again, not every homeowner, and I want to stress this, that we're not giving every homeowner in the state that qualifies a $2,500 check for remediation. Because as Representative Krug has mentioned earlier, we know there are going to be some cases where it's only going to cost a couple hundred dollars to put in a filtration system that is going to put them within safe standards. So it's going to be there's going to be a lot of feedback between that homeowner and these health officials to determine what that appropriate amount is going to be.
So it sounds like there's a variety of remediation tactics, if you will, mm-hmm. that are involved. I mean, what does it involve? A filtration system? Well replacement?
Yeah, I mean, there's different products. I mean, one of the most useful products that is out there is a reverse osmosis system, which is at the point of entry of water to your home where you put it down by like a water softener type situation where it would run in conjunction with the water softener in a lot of cases. There are systems that you can actually put right on your tap that'll filter out some of these contaminants and nitrates and other things that are out there that are a little less expensive. The reverse osmosis system requires some filter replacements every 6 months, and something we'll have to deal with because it's got some price to it to keep replacing filters. But there are so many different technologies that are emerging right now. That's the reason we have to bring in the private sector who do this on a regular basis to help us stay ahead of technology and to have that consultation with the county health department saying this is the process we can use to get this individual down to that, and it's only going to cost you this. Technology is only increasing in these areas, and I think it's a vital a part of this bill that we stay ahead of that and let those individuals help us understand what other systems are emerging.
It sounds like a case-by-case basis, and again, comes back to those partnerships you talked about.
Absolutely.
It has to be case-by-case. I mean, you know, we've done it for forever in the state of Wisconsin where we do regulation for everybody. One size fits all, and it's going to fix everything, right? It's finally to the point these last few years on different things where we finally started to realize that regulation by watershed or regulation by neighborhood is something that we can trust our agencies to be able to accomplish and get the job done. Instead of having requirements in the Central Sands that apply to somebody in the city of Milwaukee, it's apples and oranges. And that's where we've really got to get ahead of ourselves as lawmakers, is to start understanding that just because we made a bill that does a thing, that doesn't help everybody, that helps somebody. So we've got to figure out a way to do this better.
And that is a great point that Representative Krug just made, that this cookie-cutter approach to our regulatory framework as it relates to groundwater quality hasn't necessarily warranted the best results. I know prior to my time entering the legislature in previous sessions, Representative Krug, along with Senator Rob Coles, had actually introduced legislation to create sensitive resource management areas where we would take a look at different areas of the state, because we are fortunate to live in a very diverse state when it comes to our geography, or topography, geology, you name it. So the issues that we face in the Central Sands are not the same issues that people face up in Door County and Kewaunee County, just like they're not the same issues that folks face up in Superior County or southwestern Wisconsin or southeastern Wisconsin. I mean, so if we could get to a point where we have a framework like that addresses various regions, or as Representative Krug just mentioned, specific watersheds, I think that gives us a much more user-friendly model when it comes to our regulatory framework as opposed to the rigid one that we have right now. And that's one of the challenges, too, that oftentimes as policymakers and within government, oftentimes we're playing catch-up on these issues because the private sector moves much faster than government does. And so oftentimes we're playing catch-up. And so we're trying to get out in front of this to create policies that will make government more flexible. And I know sometimes that can be difficult because bureaucracy is rigid and not always adaptive to new approaches. But
no.
I know. It's a shocker, right? But that's why I think it's important that we think outside the box. And as Representative Krug also mentioned, reinvent the wheel here, because this, I firmly believe, is going to put Wisconsin in a much better spot and could also serve as a model for other states who are dealing with similar issues.
Right. This is certainly not a problem that's unique to Wisconsin. You know, I have to ask, you both represent rural areas in Wisconsin, and what other concerns are you hearing from your rural constituents that you're trying to address?
I mean, well, it's a good point. We started this morning. We've talked to a few different media outlets, but even earlier this morning, I had a meeting with my local government in the town of Rome, talking about the 9 key element plan that they have to reduce the blue-green algae in their lakes, to improve water quality for groundwater systems for their wells, on dealing with septic systems, and certifying fertilizing companies to address some of the needs that they have in their area. So it's been such a productive year talking to local governments now about the projects that they think they can handle individually with some state help that are not always in the same realm. So, I mean, it's not always just the nitrate conversation. We do talk a lot about blue-green algae. We do talk a lot about trying to keep our surface bodies of water as clean as we possibly can with other contaminations. I mean, so, you know, when we go around and we talk about this nitrate bill as much as we do, we also have to have people know that we are listening on so many different issues right now, especially as state budget is underway, where we're able to submit motions to the Joint Finance Committee on different existing programs that we need to increase funding for, or if it's a non-point source contract issue we need to deal with for a paper maker somewhere. I mean, so many of these issues surrounding water quality are conversations we're having on a daily basis now with industry, agriculture, conservative groups, local governments, county governments, even school groups, even talking to the kids who come through the Capitol who ask about the question every so often. So it's, you know, for me, it's like a 95% of my time conversation on the water issues. I didn't go into the legislature to be a water guy, but I have learned so much. I mean, and Pat can attest to this. You become a amateur hydrogeologist after a couple of years of dealing with Central Sands water issues. I mean, you can recite these things off the top of your head as far as results and areas that have issues. And I mean, it's one of those knowledge bases that I didn't anticipate ever having, but I'm glad I had a chance to learn it over the last 8 years.
And that's what's so great about this job, and what one of the reasons why I wanted to run for public office. I mean, you never know what's going to come through your door in a given day. And so as a legislator, we kind of get to be the jack of all trades. And in Representative Krug's case, he has become, I would say, a master hydrologist just by the nature of this issue.
I did ask the chancellor in Stevens Point if I could get a degree by acclimation on this. But,
did you get a yay or nay on that?
It was a maybe.
Oh, so maybe. We'll a solid that, maybe. Yeah.
I'll make a call.
Yeah, right.
Make it work. But, I mean, some of the other issues that we're working on right now. So Representative Krug and I both represent rural districts. And so we're really trying to make sure that rural Wisconsin doesn't get overlooked. Oftentimes when we talk about big picture issues, we often think about places like Milwaukee in the Milwaukee suburbs or the Fox Valley or places like Madison. And it can get really easy to overlook places like central Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin. And that's why I've been encouraged by the work that we've been able to do in the Rural Wisconsin Initiative, which was formed two sessions ago from lawmakers in the state assembly who represent rural districts, who is now expanded into the Senate that since I've been in office, I've been a part of. And we're really trying to tackle things for our rural communities from workforce development, from health care, education, technology. Because oftentimes the biggest fights down in Madison, it's not a Republican versus Democrat issue. It is urban versus rural.
Amen.
And so we have really come a long way in recent years by having a bigger seat at the table, to the point now when we talk about rural issues, our colleagues from more urban areas of the state, they listen. And in years past, that hasn't always been the case. So I would say we've kind of become a force in the legislature. And so we've been able to pursue a number of different policy agendas that have been really beneficial for small communities throughout the state.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it changed from the time I got elected when we started seeing the changeover in rural versus urban makeup in the legislature, that Milwaukee voice has shrunk, which is nice for me. We've really struck the iron while it's hot here with broadband funding and trying to draw professionals in the rural areas and water issues. I mean, you name it, and rural issues are winning the day in Madison right now, which is great news. You can't beat that. So,
all right, that's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. I'd like to thank our guests, State Representative Scott Krug and State Senator Pat Teston. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer today is Joy Ratchkramer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we're going to be previewing the upcoming annual Energy Fair. Until then, we're heading out of town.